We have just heard John's story of Jesus' passion and death on the cross. Confronting the cross, we cannot avoid Jesus' suffering. And that matters to us. Humans suffer. Humans sin. Humans die. Humans are hurt by violence. Humans turn violence on others. And that is not distant from us. Right now, the evil in our country needs our attention and response. But opposing the perpetrators, which we must do, might have the side effect of distracting us from our own involvement in wrong. Jesus' passion does not let us see evil only in others and not encounter our own sin and suffering and death, and not least the suffering we inflict on others. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, I was, and I was not innocent. Jesus suffered in every dimension of suffering. First, he suffered physically. It was terrible. The Romans were skilled at torture. Jesus was bound, beaten, crucified. The cross was devised to make people die slowly and in great pain, suffering. Who here has not suffered? Who here has not been in pain and witnessed the pain of others we love? And how can we avoid being aware of the suffering around us and around the world? Suffering that our country seems to be retreating from helping to alleviate. In Jesus' pain, God suffered and shared our pain in the world's. God in Christ suffered and died physically as one of us on behalf of all, to liberate us finally from pain and death and to forgive all who come to him for their role in the pain and death of others. But Jesus' suffering was in heart and spirit and not only body. We were created in dignity, in God's own image, worthy of infinite respect. And that human dignity is violated right and left. Jesus was treated like an animal pulled off to the shambles. He was stripped naked and hung up for everyone to look at and mock. He was left alone. His closest friends and disciples betrayed or abandoned him. His heart and spirit were violated. Surely we know something about that. Have you been mocked, treated like dirt? Have you ever been betrayed and abandoned? Or mocked others, as I myself want to mock my political opponents? And what are the wider ways our world violates the dignity of others? Many now want to deny the power of racism, sexism, homophobia. Well, denial is not just a river in Egypt. But God meant Jesus' suffering and death to restore the dignity of human nature, the dignity of every person. And Jesus' suffering and death were political and legal and religious as well. Human life is lived out in society, lived politically, lived subject to law, lived with religious institutions. There too, humans are vulnerable. We suffer in that dimension too. Jesus was falsely accused of making himself a king in a political rebellion against Rome. He was hustled through a show trial by the leaders of his own religion first and then by the Romans. Romans who prided themselves on justice until they abandoned it whenever threatened. He was sentenced to death in a political deal between the chief priests and Pilate. Where have we been betrayed by the manipulation of a legal system? Where have we been betrayed by our own religion? For we are now aware of how priests have hurt people. I have seen it. It is horrible. And we do not forget the Christian fear and hatred of Jews for so long. So dangerous in the way John tells this story. Harming God's own people, Jesus' own flesh and blood. Jesus suffered and died in this dimension too. Political, legal, religious. And in him, God was acting to end all such abuse and wrong forever and free us to live and worship in spirit and truth. But what is worse than any of this, the deepest suffering at all, to be abandoned by God? We modern folk have forgotten to fear hell, yet it only takes a little imagination or a little experience to discover what it would be like to find ourselves abandoned by God, with the heavens as hard as brass and as unresponsive. There is no suffering worse, nor any death as final as to lose God. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, was somehow incomprehensibly abandoned by God, so witness Mark and Matthew. And yet somehow, in a way I do not understand, but which is the steady witness of Scripture and the Church, Jesus' death overcame our alienation from God. He died for us, for anyone who died toward God and God toward them. For us who have damaged our life with God through wrongdoing or indifference or sheer unbelief. For us who have found ourselves abandoned and alone without God. Here too, Jesus suffered and died as one of us, with all who have lost God, to reconcile us, to open a way to the eternal home with the one who loved us and gave himself for us, to give us the one thing that surpasses all else, the unbreakable love of God. What does Jesus' suffering and death mean for us? That we are eternally the victims of sin, death, and the devil, left to die in every dimension ourselves? Or as perpetrators and not victims only, in some kind of solidarity, if only remote, with the agents of sin, death, and the devil? Eternally victims or eternally guilty? It might well have meant that, and we do well not to forget it. Jesus is the Son of God. And when God suffers and dies, surely that should have been the triumph, the final triumph of evil and death. No. Because what Jesus did was done for us, and his sacrifice was complete. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. God made of the cross the means of forgiveness and life and eternal healing and freedom. God turned the last word of evil into God's word of infinite love, of life, the word that makes all creation new. Jesus broke down the gates of hell. That Jesus' victory over sin and death came at great cost, we know today of all days. That God in him paid that cost gladly. That is a constant witness of Scripture and the Church. Believe it. That unspeakable gift, that infinite love, is why we call this Friday good. Amen.